Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, have you had any deep conversations with elephants lately? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you can't imagine that. Well, let's talk with someone who speaks with elephants a lot and other species too, many other species. And she's been on the show many times because she's has amazing things to tell us and has amazing experiences with so many different animals. And in this show in particular, we're really going to focus on elephants. And so now we want to talk with the elephants, one of their elephants' best friends, Sandra Mendelson. Sandra, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's really good to see you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Let's mention quickly your book, We Walk Beside You.
Yes. Over probably about a five-year period, about 53 species came through. And I really didn't intend for it to be a book. The name of the title of the book came through first in 2012 when horses started sharing some amazing things. And they pushed me and they said, okay, you know, this is where your telepathic abilities come in, tune into anyone from anywhere. I'm like, I can't do that. But then a sacred cow in India and a blue whale and a water buffalo came through. And the quality of what they had to say was so mind-blowing for me, you know, a la Deepak Chopra or Dalai Lama kind of stuff you would expect, that I just started recording everything. And it became my first book that came out in 2017, which is We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. So and, a lot of stuff has come through since then.
And this is an ability that very few people have, not only talking to animals, but in intuition, hearing from other voices in the universe. And because I have that too, but I've heard from some animals in my life, but I don't make that my specialty. I don't, and most of the time I don't know who I hear from, but it's certainly not my mind talking because it's telling me things I have no idea about. And so you understand that completely because these animals have things to say that you haven't heard of before. And they surprise you actually with the information about what they're capable of and what they're aware of. And we've talked in other shows about not every animal can be like this. Yeah. There are certain members of each species that have divine gifts and can tap into the universal computer, the field of higher knowledge. And they know things about life and are sophisticated in ways that you'd think they've gone to college.
Yeah, they're more evolved. The more evolved souls are the ones that step forward and kind of blow your mind.
Right. So, yeah. So we can't say that every elephant or every other species that you can just walk up to and expect them to be aware. But many are. And
that being said, there are really three to four species that have additional roles on this planet, and those being, and off the planet, elephants, horses, and whales are the big three, and dolphins are really like the messengers of the whales. And animal communicators have brought through stuff from the cetaceans, since 2000, Penelope Smith. These species are doing really amazing, breathtaking things, which is one of the reasons you and I thought it would be a good thing to share the elephant perspective today.
Right, and these species, they also represent themselves in higher consciousness in the universe in ways that we don't even understand how. We know about angels, for instance, we know about archangels and things like that. And it wouldn't surprise me if they have theirs, and
they are light workers. They are energy workers. You know, that in and of itself puts them on a level with certain people, certain humans on this planet that are here to do that kind of work. Right. And not all of us are aware of it. But one thing you said before, about, you know, tapping into consciousness, whether it's through angels or trees or animals or whatever, the awakening is happening faster and faster and faster. So more and more people are getting those intuitive sixth sensory experiences now.
I know, I love it that so many people are hearing things, knowing things that surprise them, and they've awakened, let's say.
Yeah, it's really magical. It really is when you discover, you know, a world that's right there. To me, it's the best prize of all.
Well, let's talk about these friends of yours, these elephants who have been communicating with you. And they found you, right?
One I found named Ronnie in Sri Lanka, because my girlfriend went to stay at the sanctuary where Ronnie was. And so I tuned in and had several communications with her. And then the other two, that one blew me away because I'm actually going to go to Africa, South Africa, this August. And last summer, I started communicating with two elephants that are very much alive in South Africa. So, you know, we have a little code. And if they don't do it, I'm not going to cry. But I'm like, I want to know that all of this is real. So we have a little code that, you know, they're going to do a thing on my head with their trunk when they see me. Yeah, I hope so, you know. But we're human. As humans, we're always looking for validation. It doesn't matter how much stuff you've channeled. Give me a little bit of proof. And so they had told me about 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were all excited. And I wasn't sure whether I heard baby or newbie. They were fussing over this new elephant. And I just pulled up the blog that is published by the camp. And apparently they had a new elephant that they were going to introduce to the herd on December 13th. And he died. Because they had a drought and he got a horrible microencephalitis. Droppings in the food. So, I mean, I know they're mourning right now, you know, as elephants really do. But anyway, the point is, I did hear that they were all excited and fussing over a newbie. Anyway, so yes, we've got elephants from Sri Lanka and South Africa in particular that came through to share a lot of stuff today.
So what do they want us to know?
Well, you know, I can start with the human stuff. The guidance for us, and then I can go backwards and kind of share with people what elephants are doing that will, you know, blow your mind.
Good. All right.
And really up your respect level and your wonder level. So guidance for us as we're in entering this new decade. I'm gonna read some of it directly because I'll forget the words. This is about creating the new reality with our actions and our intentions. We feel your thoughts and they are so powerful. Set aside time each day to hold us in your hearts and see the healing and regeneration of our populations and Mother Earth herself. Some people, by the way, may want to write some of this down, like, you know, some of the points, because it's like, I can't remember it. You must let go of your addiction to fighting against evil. I know this is perhaps the most challenging task of all, but you are actually feeding the misery you focus on. Remember, if we focus on what is not balanced, we grow it like a weed. So continue to enlighten and not focus on the films and the TV footage and all of the atrocities in this world, because there is so much more that the animals are aware of that is going on right now. It doesn't make it to the news. That is bringing the world to its rightful place of health. Focus only on those efforts. Just the way you can believe in God and angels and guides or the all and that which you cannot see, you must believe that everything is energy, including your thoughts and intentions. These shape reality. So here's some things you all can do. 1, sit every day and hold the vision of a world that works. 2, lead with your hearts and how you care for all beings and things. That was interesting. Now you are shaping reality and trust in this. And this is really how we are joining with the elephants in oneness. The animals all know how powerful our minds are. We have to now wrap our arms around it and make that leap and believe. That's why there were all these worldwide meditations, and I know people from six countries were doing it alone, that were doing meditations to bring rain in Australia, and it began raining. It's in Melbourne and stuff like that. Okay, so we got hold the vision of the world that works, lead with your hearts and how you care for all beings and things. And then back to the self-care, please see your beautiful light as we do. Please love and appreciate and be kind to yourselves. There is such an enormous and energetic ripple effect for this that you cannot see, but we can. And four, please respect and love each other and our beautiful Earth Mother. So they always go back, you know, the animals are putting energy into the earth. And what they always, the elephants keep stressing is stop focusing on the differences that we have with people. You're a vegan and you're going to go attack a meat eater. Well, that meat eater could be saving animals or doing other beautiful things. So that's why the animals always pull it back to, if you're going to make a stance, do it from a high place and focus on what we all have in common, which is land, water, air, this planet. Because you can all connect on those levels outside of politics and opinion. We all need those things. So coming out and connecting with each other by taking a stand for that which we all share in common makes a lot of sense. And there's
I was thinking that elephants being, they're among the largest animals, and their main predators are humans. But same thing with whales and other important beings on this planet are they're really not here, I don't think, to be that caught up in politics. I think there are a lot of smaller species that have harder survival needs that need to work harder to each day to be fed and protect themselves, and et cetera. And they have pecking orders, and they have egos and things like that. And I'm sure there are those among the elephants, et cetera. They're not all divine beings in ideal ways. But I feel that hearing from them, there's power in their largeness means something to me.
It does, but the first thing that like the blue whale said to me is size has nothing to do with power, yet that is all you humans see from the outside.
But there's something about it that is impressive.
Yeah, well, when you see when you learn about the kind of energy work that the whales and the elephants are doing.
Exactly.
The size of their heart and their energy field makes a lot of sense because they send sonar out, they move ideologies out. I mean, they are doing big work. So,
you're creating a much better reality to what I was meaning.
You made a really good point. They have very large energy fields and large hearts, which emit a lot of electromagnetic energy. So yeah, you're right. I thought it was interesting that Jabulani in South Africa, I said, what can you tell people for this new decade? And he just blurted out like five things, which I thought were really fun. Number one, discard things and objects. They weigh you down. Two, stop obsessing about dirt and perfect cleanliness. It is silly. Three, when you think about it, a lot of us get obsessed and waste a lot of time with that. Three, slow down and enjoy the magic of simple things. Four, stop focusing on what you cannot change. We enjoy the 3D here and now. And when we do energy work, it's only where and when there is an opening for change. So that means no proselytizing, no convincing, no pushing and urging and trying to convert anyone else to our way of being. Right. The animals know better than that.
And very soon I'm going to be interviewing a Zen priest who's quite a master and has written many books. And what I get out of his teachings is just to be, just to be true to whatever we're doing, you know.
It's a lot of work for people to get to that place when even, you know, you can feel that rumble in the air. Do you know what I mean? Just like, and you're like, why do I feel jacked up? I can do anything I want today. You know, there's a lot of energy coming into the planet. Humans are generating a lot of it. So to realize you can, for some people, it's harder than others to just feel the calm inside.
Right. It's our insecurities that push us to do things in life that really don't end up serving us well.
Even just the addiction to doism, which was a whole nother show I did from animals about, we're just addicted to doing.
Right, just being doing.
Thich Nhat Hanh says that a lot. You know, you think if you're not doing something, you're wasting time. No, you're here to be, not to do, to enjoy.
Well, we're here to do being or be doing without creating a lot of stuff around it. Just be, you know, if you're eating, you're eating.
Right. Oh my! Now you sound like my dog, the master of mindfulness. When you eat, just eat. When you're
good, I like that.
Because he's seen me eating at the computer, and he's like, Another thing that the elephants know, and here they are, they're doing all, and I'll get to this in a little bit, all the kinds of work that they're doing that we're unaware of. But the most important thing is the light approach. And this is so hard for humans that are waking up now, and I'm guilty of this.
Say it again.
A light approach. We can show you how to be joyful. We know a lot about it, and we have wonderful senses of humor. We could not be successful with our energy work if we were serious. Humans don't grasp this yet. The most successful outcomes come from a lighter approach. Light approach. Remember the vibration. The lighter you are, the more light you create and attract.
That's
so
wonderful.
Here we are, like the hippo said, right? If you're trying to make the world a better place and you're not laughing, do something else. Because you're lowering vibration with all of this seriousness. It's like, oh, good gravy. You know, it's like, okay, you know all this, and now lighten it up, right? Don't let it all weigh you down, or else you just become the problem that you are trying to find a solution for. You know, like Einstein said, a problem cannot be solved by the consciousness that creates. To the animals are showing us how to shift our consciousness, and then we get ideas for solutions. And the paradox is that the very thing we need to create solutions is joy and lightness. And then we get the what ifs, and then we're on to solutions because we're not in the heaviness of the problem. Right. It's all energy.
By the way, truth is really very simple. And if we can clear all the garbage out of the way, then we can just live, you know, the truth of lightness, the truth of joy and loving, caring for others. And if we can just be in that place, it makes everything else unimportant.
That's true.
Right.
That is true. It's all the excess baggage we picked up, resentment, worry, anxiety, fear, lack of self-esteem, you know, jealousy, all that other stuff. And even if you don't have some of those, at least one of them is going to nip you in the ankles.
So let's talk about what these elephants do themselves to be true to what they're saying.
I have more from them if we have time at that.
They're the most abused species on the planet. Their history has been terrible. And so we would expect them to really be, you know, wrecks from it, emotional, psychological wrecks, PTSD.
And it's just the opposite of that. You know, they say that what has been done to them is the very thing that has been done to Mother Earth, you know? Not all elephants are at the same vibratory level, but those who can do the following. Our mission is the uplifting of the human race and the restoration of the experience of oneness. We are feeding humanity with our light. So yes, we are light workers. And regardless of our soul age, you could say that energy work is part of the mission of both our species as well as the purpose of our individual souls. So here's some of the things they do. They move energy and land. So they carve riverbeds so Mother Earth's water energy can flow freely.
And that's through intention, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not like they can get into every riverbed and start using their trunks or their legs to.
They know there's patterns that will allow, because again, stagnant energy causes illness. So I'll read their words. We have carved the beginnings of what became rivers, allowing Mother Earth's water energy to flow as needed. We are also gardeners and sometimes have forged energetic pathways by clearing brush and small trees. We are very multifaceted, all of it with the purpose of allowing energy to move, which is wow. The root of all health and healing.
So they do use their bodies, but
they do.
They know what they're doing with their bodies, not just shoveling dirt or whatever. They actually are changing the patterns.
They're in touch with where the energy needs to flow in a way you and I are not.
Right.
Okay, here's more. We work, and it's not in beautiful order because sometimes it comes in and, you know, it's not in perfect order. We work on this planet and off. It's another way we are bonded with our partners and families through our commitment to balancing the planet, the galaxy, and others. We work as a collective on groups and entire star systems. We meditate, we connect with each other and work in unison. There are large numbers of us across the planet who tune in. We send love and healing to those who need it, and we share this with each other, group effort, group mind. We all eventually learn how to do all the different types of energy work, which takes many forms. Like there's the moving energy out, which is old thinking patterns. They repair and balance broken energy, which he referred to as darkness. And they heal emotion, which physical ailments are a byproduct of. He said, so the healing is lots of different forms of energy work, he said, but you know, we do have our own personal aptitudes as well. As you know, I love to work with people. So whether they know it or not, I work on healing their crippling emotions and faulty beliefs. Here's another one. We travel back and forth in what you know of as time, but to us, we are simply visiting different pages in the same book. We set things right. So very much that you cannot see would be so deeply problematic without our work. Ego doesn't rule us. It is what comes about when individuals are not in balance. So we, like horses and whales, do our biggest work behind the scenes. We've even helped to balance the evolution of mankind, but few would believe it. And then finally, he said, we can use our form and strength when we need it, and then disappear into energy in an instant. And this is not to condone anything that's being done, but more than one elephant has told me this, maybe to give us a little solace, that right before the torture is about to be inflicted, they leave their bodies. They go to the great hammock, you know? And so they either rest or they just ascend and then come back when the time is right, because I've heard it from geckos, I've heard it from all kinds of wild animals, only we humans are so dense that we don't understand that animals are loosely tied to their body. And I believe that the more they're connected with humans, the more they're grounded and they're a little more stuck in their body because they're constantly feeling our dense vibration. But not, I mean, they're in, they're out. Boom, gone in an instant, which is so fascinating to me. I think I had told you, Jabulani had said to me, the reason they look dense and big the way they do is to do all this work undetected, because if they were ever found out a few hundred years ago, they would have been burnt at the stake. Right now, quote, we know about the hurricanes, the fires in Australia and the Amazon, and we have been hard at work with light workers and healers, human, to counterbalance the breakages within the collective ideology, as well as sending energy to the wounded spots on Mother Earth. We are heartened by the growing number of lightworkers discovering their purpose and committing to it, even sacrificing comfort to walk a path of integrity and healing for the planet. So they're very, very aware of humanity's waking up.
This is so beautiful. We're getting near the end of the show. And I'm fascinated by what you hear, you know, because it's not like you're this person who's trying to espouse all these ideas. You're just the messenger for them.
Well, look, you know, it's forever humbling. You know, someone once said to me, oh, you think you're better than us because you can hear the animals. I said, no, I just really want to be more like them.
Yeah.
Because my vibration rises. Every time they come through, the yawning. And they've told me, because my vibration rises real fast when I'm in touch with their vibration. So,
you know, it's not about you, it's about them. And you're I would say, grateful to be a messenger for them.
Yeah. I mean, we don't all have the abilities to do all things. I know some very powerful light workers that are doing amazing stuff behind the scenes in different countries, like the elephants are doing. And some of the languaging they use just left me dumbfounded. And I'm not stupid, you know.
Agree with you. I've heard the power that many people, healers, have, that, and you see it in them. And, you know, that's what they're here for. I'm mostly here for information, to pass on information. See,
me too.
That information. So I appreciate it. It's nice that we can, you know, send out some nice healing energy, but not that we have some of the powers that these other beings have.
But you know what? You never know what will help someone. And that's the odd thing. When I do animal communication sessions, I've gotten involved with people and career changes. And I mean, and I end up doing some counseling sessions for shifting into working with animals, with light, you know, things evolve. Well,
look, after all these years of hearing from all these wise beings, it sinks in.
So we have to rub off.
Right. That's great.
Thank you, Peter. I'd like to think I learned a little bit, but this I'm like, ooh.
No, I'm thrilled to talk with you.
I love you.
So thanks so much, you know, for being an energy stew. Again, the name of your book is We Walk Beside You. Do you have a website?
I do. It's just smendelson.com, smendelson.com. I've been channeling and blogging and posting to Facebook. There's been so much more that's come through since 2017 that 2020 is the next book, which is Animal Insights for Everyday Living. So people don't read a story. They can just go, what's the issue? What do the animals have to say about it? Because they can give us a perspective that humans can't.
Sandra Mendelson, thank you so much for being a guest again on Energy Stew.
Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can reach it, Peter, at HeartRiver, HEART, river.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.